It's Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 The Hound.
We're Tidalway Road, and we're glad to be here in Lexington. We got Carly Parker on mandolin, Robert Sulford on guitar, Daniel Parker on bass, and I'm Ben Parker on banjo. And we're going to do an original song about how we spent a whole lot of our 20s. This is called My Tortured Heart.
We released that with Pinecastle earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm. And that was back in April.
April timing, yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, y'all from Williamsburg, Kentucky.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. Can y'all give us the story of your meeting? And I know y'all been playing on and off for a couple of years.
Well,
back in the early 2000s was when it started up.
Technically, yes, but we've been playing since we were little kids because they're twin brothers and I'm their first cousin. And Robert, just a good friend of ours, he just lived a couple hollers over. But when we was little kids, we would write blues songs and record them and stuff. And then eventually, after probably in our 20s, we started playing music. We started this band in probably about 2010 or something like that, just for a friend's wedding. It kind of morphed to playing them for restaurants and then started doing gigs. And we just kind of kept on going with it. But we stayed real tight-knit, and we play quite a bit together. And We just go around having a great time. We're trying to travel the earth, getting a little adventures.
Absolutely. Well, we have another tune for us today. We're going to hear a couple tunes.
Yeah, this is another one off of our off the bonfire sessions that we've done at Pine Castle. This is the only one that we didn't, on their album, that we didn't originally write. But this has never been professionally recorded. A friend of mine wrote this. This is one called 18.
Fiddling around. All right, you've been busy recently. Y'all just came back from a long night last night. You've been playing the festival circuit around the summer. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been up to?
Yeah, we've been real busy. Actually, this weekend it's kind of been like a bluegrass boot camp. So this is our fourth gig this weekend, and one Friday night, two yesterday, and then today. Of course, we're very grateful for the opportunity to play all of them. It does make a session like today, you feel it in your fingers and in your voice. So, but we do appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Absolutely. I'm glad to have you here, whether you're fresh off of another gig or whatnot. But I also wanted to talk to you about Picking for the Kids that's happening in London. Passionate. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So it's at the London Laurel Optimist Club, and it's put on as a nonprofit. And they use the funds from that to buy Christmas presents for local kids in the area. So it's been going on many years. I'm not sure exactly how long, for a long time.
At least 10.
Yeah. And it's put on by a lot of people, but the main person is Robert Prince that puts that on. They call him Tiny because he's just short of 7 foot tall. But, really great people to work with. They're very involved with the community and bring in good lineups normally for 2 days of good, really good music.
Mm-hmm. Bring it in. Yeah. And for a good cause, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I love about the Appalachian community and the bluegrass community specifically. It's like they're always wanting to give back. And I was talking about this with another band I had on, that there's just not a bluegrass artist out there that I met that isn't passing it forward in some way. We've got Candaid, which is an organization here in Kentucky, I believe, that's given instruments to kids and teaching them about folk music and roots music. And it's just a real beautiful thing that we have that here, and we have that special connection. And we'll talk about home and Kentucky in just a little bit on Fiddling Around. So let's get on with another tune, if you don't mind.
Yeah, banjo is a very strange instrument. Nobody really understands it, but everybody tries.
It's not the instrument that's so strange.
Yeah.
The person that chooses to play one.
It's handed down. But this is a song that bluegrass has a lot of murder ballads, and this is just one of those. But this is one that...
Well, it starts off as a love song.
It starts off as a love song, but it always goes wrong. That's the problem with bluegrass right there. Bluegrass, somebody's got to die. So this is one that we do have on our album. This is Done the Best For Worst on social platforms. What's the...
Digital platform.
Digital platforms, yeah. I'm sorry. This one called See You There. Oh,
ain't that just so sweet? I love a good murder ballad. They really catch you off guard because they they're such a groove, and then you throw your wife off the bridge or whatever.
A good friend of mine was, he said he called me real excited. Well, I work at a barbershop, and he came in, and he was real excited. He goes, man, he said, I heard you guys on Sirius Radio. And I said, what was it, that gospel song? He goes, no. This one wasn't that one. I was like, oh, my tortured heart. He goes, yeah.
That's it.
Well, the guy does end up in a church after this one.
Praise the Lord.
I almost said I ran and ran and ran, and I got somewhere, but I didn't.
It's Tidal Wave Road Bluegrass Band on Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 The Hound. We're the sound of Kentucky here on The Hound, as y'all know. And one of my favorite things to ask, especially a Kentucky artist, is what home means to you in your music, because there's just something about Kentucky, man. There really is, that keeps us coming back and staying here and running our roots here, really. And it comes through in our music and in our artistry. So I'd love to hear what that means to you.
Well, it's probably different for all of us, but still has some similarities. And that similarity is, I think we all grew up and music was just part of life. You know, our parents played, grandparents played. Everywhere we were at, there was always music playing. So to imagine life without it is strange for us. So when we meet people that's not from Kentucky and you start talking to them about music and genres of music, and they're very narrow-minded or tuned into one genre, you know, we want to encourage them to be more open-minded and embrace all the music. But to me personally, the wonderful thing about music is the family that it brings. It should be a common platform. That's what I love about it, is everybody can come and enjoy music, and that makes it wonderful. So.
Absolutely. And word of mouth tradition, it all gets passed down, and right, it's going to keep getting passed down.
Right.
And with that, bluegrass is changing every day.
It is.
It's a little scary how fast it's changing. but there's still that old stuff, that classic traditional bluegrass that's living within every bluegrass artist. What do you all hope to see in the future of bluegrass?
Inside the bluegrass, we all have very different taste, and they normally pick on me for being the oldest one, but I probably like more of the progressive bluegrass and the jam grass than they do, even though I'm older than they are.
Yeah.
So, but it's a good blend, because you know we balance it out. So what I like to see for the future for bluegrass is just for it to continue to grow and continue to cross lines. Take somebody like Billy Strings or Molly mm-hmm. Tuttle, Green Sky. They're playing to people that normally wouldn't go out and listen to bluegrass.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like about the more progressive stuff, is it brings a new ear.
Brings it in, yeah.
It's I don't know exactly how to say it, but it brings a whole new generation to people that don't care to sit. That we love Bill Monroe and Ralph Stanley and all that, but this newer generation, they don't really get into that sort of music, you know what I mean? But if we can, like he said, a Billy Strings or a Molly Tuttle, if that gets them to a festival to where that music is being played, maybe they will, you know.
It's a very, bluegrass is a very wide genre. I talk to people all the time, and people say, well, I don't really like bluegrass that much. I'm like, well, what do you listen to, like rock and roll? I'm like, oh, so you listen to like a lot of Megadeth. And like, oh, no. I was like, oh, like Lionel Richie? Like, well, no. I was like, well, see, bluegrass is that wide a genre. I mean, there's everything. It's a whole gamut of, there's everything from really, really almost not bluegrass on the jam side, rock side, to real strict traditional Stanley Brothers stuff. I like it all myself personally, but I like to, you know, listen to different things at different times. So, but it's a very wide genre, and I hope that it continues to grow in every aspect. There's some really good traditional bands coming out, and there's some really good, you know, kind of newer age bands coming out. So I was worried about it back when we were about the youngest ones that were kind of playing, but now that we're kind of getting older, and there's a lot of these younger people coming in that are really, really, really talented.
They're taking over. We've got some real good pickers.
Yeah.
We had the Mountain Grass Unit. They're playing at Bourbon Beyond, and they're just college students. And they can shred it up on stage.
Yeah.
And they play the traditional stuff, too, so they're doing their work. They're doing a good job of passing it down to kids all around. And I actually live in New York right now, and I'm seeing it all kind of blossom up there, too. I never would have thought I'd be able to go to a bluegrass show in New York City. And the fact that even, I mean, Tyler Childers, he's got his Kentucky roots, and he's selling out Madison Square Garden.
Right.
It's just crazy that we're getting to the point where Kentucky is on the main stage, and I couldn't be happier, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the nice thing about these the younger generation that's coming into music, I feel like that, you know, a lot of us that are our age, there was kind of some boundaries drawn around bluegrass as we were learning it, and we wasn't careful, it would limit our picking style or our song choice style. But the younger generation coming into it, it's just like wide open. Do anything you want to do, and I think it gives a lot of creativity.
It was very definite rules when we were learning how to play. Like my dad, you know, played, and grandparents. A little old lady one time told me that when she was a little girl, they would put her in a sled, and they would have mules pull over to our grandparents' house, and that's where everybody would gather to play music on Saturday night. Mostly it was gospel then, probably all gospel, but they probably played a few instrumentals that wasn't. But that's how long, you know. And the Roberts family, they've done a lot of that too, because I live right there real close. And it's just, now it's starting, like, I tell people all the time, like, when I was a kid, I'd be upstairs listening to Bill Monroe and Ralph Stanley. My mom would be downstairs listening to Alice in Chains and Grand Funk Railroad. And we'd go to Carney Daniels' house. I'd be there about as much as I was at my own. We might be listening to Larry Sparks. We might be listening to
Blackfoot,
AC/DC. Yeah, Metallica. I mean, you didn't know what it was going to be.
I'm sure growing up with musician parents is a lot of pressure.
You get to hear a lot of examples, you know what I mean?
Y'all do it this way. Do it this way. Well, thanks for joining me on Fiddling Around. We got a couple more tunes. We'll move on into talking about what's coming next for y'all. What do we have next?
So this coming weekend, we have the Osborne Brothers Festival in Hyden. That's our next gig. And then the weekend after that, we are very excited to get back into the studio at Pine Castle down in Piedmont, South Carolina, with our producer, Steve Wilson. And we're very excited to get down there and start trying to work on the next project, keep the music rolling out.
Exciting. We'll talk about that and Pine Castle after this next tune.
Okay.
This is a favorite everywhere we go, especially with people our age that remember when this came out, because this is an old Guns N' Roses song. When I was about fifth grade, if you had a Guns N' Roses tape in your backpack, that meant you was cool. 1, 2, 3.
She got a smile that's in me from my
mandolin electric car solo right there.
He's shredding. A genius at it. So he really is because, see, I can't copy anybody. I wish I could, but I can't. I have my style, and that's it. So if I sit down and try, when we brought this song, so Carly's like, we need this. I'm like, well, then do it. So he's like, okay. And I'm glad he can do it. And then when we play that song, everybody's like, the mandolin done that lick? Like, that's Carly. That's what he does.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Well, y'all just got signed earlier this year to Pinecastle Records. Yeah. And congratulations. That's super exciting. That's a huge thing. And especially with all your discography you have out right now, it's an amazing next step for y'all. Yeah. And I want to know how making music has been, signed with a label instead of doing an indie style, and what it's been like working with them and recording down in South Carolina.
Well, to start with, we should probably give thanks to Sammy Carr, local promoter, and the Sam Jam Festival. We done the Sam Jam Hop and as a band competition and won, and that's what sent us to Pinecastle.
A band competition that we didn't know we were in.
Yeah, that made it easier for us because we didn't really realize we were competing.
No way.
Know? So, yeah. So, actually, a couple weeks after the hop, I get a message from Sammy. It says, call me. And I call him, and he said, are you guys on any label? I said, no. And he said, well, would you like to go Pinecastle? Well, I said, look, we don't play around like this. You know, if you're not serious.
What a phone call to get. So, my gosh.
So I Aline and I work together. So I text the boys. I'm like, you know, please text me back. I got big news. And they're all working. You know, they're busy, so they don't. So I'm pacing the floor. I'm wanting to scream. I'm wanting to shout. Yeah, I'm like, somebody, please. So I go to Ali and he's like, what's wrong with Carly? Tell him to text me. I need to tell somebody about this.
Yeah. Nobody's going to know about this.
Yeah. So then we go to Pinecastle and record, and we had a great time. It was a very magical experience
working
for us.
Working with Steve was awesome.
Yeah, working with Steve was incredible. He made us feel comfortable. And then afterwards, we talked to them about, you know, possibility of signing. And they had several new artists they were working with. And so I'm, as these guys will tell you, I'm very impatient, unfortunately. I like the gas pedal on the floor. So we get back and we're pushing to release on our own, you know, go through CD Baby or something and make this happen. But the wheels all fell in place for us. And Pinecastle reached back out. It's like, hey, we'd like to sign you guys on. And I should also give a lot of credit there to our publicist, Melanie Wilson, who's Steve's wife. She fell in love with our music, and she has been very helpful. And so she's been in Ethan Burkhart's ear. You know, you got to give these guys a chance. You got to give them a chance. So it worked out for us, and it's been incredible. And honestly, it's a little bit of a confidence boost, you know, when you work and you want validation of your music, because we are different. So when you get that validation, it gives you a little bit of confidence. So your shows get a little better, and, you know, you feel better about yourself. So sorry for hogging all that, but that's my feel about it. So
yeah, it's amazing. We went down there and, you know, we won the contest, and they told us we had 3 days in Pinecastle Records. And so we practiced really, really hard for a month and a half before we went down there. And we get down there and we're nervous wreck. Like, literally, Robert was up at 5:30 in the morning, like, playing, you know, working on his guitar solo that we had already been practicing for months. Been playing for years anyway. But then we get there, and first nothing started working. We're in different rooms, and we're so close. We play somewhere. I can just feel the mood. We just kick a song off, and we do something wrong.
They had you all ISO for it?
Yeah, we're
really?
Isolated at first.
Interesting.
Which we're not used to that.
And, well, there's a glass door between me and Carly. And me and Daniel's in the same room, but I can't see Daniel because of dividers.
Wow.
So all I can see is Carly. And when we kick the song off, everything's wrong, I get the Carly stare of death. You know?
Well, I couldn't see anybody, but I can tell what's going on. Like, I got ESPN. Yeah. And finally, Steve Wilson, the producer, You know, he pulls us all in this in the sound room there or whatever, and he says, guys, he's like, you know, this ain't working. I'm like, oh, he said, because we was going to try to get five songs, and he's like, you know, that's just about impossible. So let's just pick out three and just do them. You know, we'll change the way that we do it. We're going to try this way, and we're going to try this way and see how it works. And so then we started doing that, and it started falling together. And by the end of that day, we started at 10 that morning. By 7 o'clock that evening, we had all five songs done, the instrument parts done, and the vocals on two of them. And we were just having a good time, man. Steve's really awesome. And then the next day, we come in, done the vocals. And then so then the next day and a half was just us watching him do all this. Look to me like dark magic, like he's casting spells or something
over his
spaceship
computer.
Yeah. I mean, he done stuff that I thought only Iron Man can do. You know, he got bringing stuff over here and doing this, and
we lights was flashing
in
the background.
Yeah, well, it was very amazing. And
he had really good studio monitors, so he was playing as he was working, and man, it was just awesome
magic.
To be there and experience it.
So. I'm so glad y'all get to have that. And having a good person in your corner during those sessions, I'm sure, is just all the world of a difference. Yeah.
And not just in the session. Actually, that's the cool thing about bluegrass is having somebody in your corner for all of it, for the festivals, to help you with your social media. And Sammy's been that for us, Sammy Carr, and we really appreciate him. And then Melanie and Steve, you know, they're our cheerleaders. And then also our wives, you know, they follow us around everywhere, so they're our biggest cheerleaders, and they're always in their corner, and they always keep us grounded. And so especially when I'm working on a new song and I'm working on my solo, I'm like, hey Jess, how's this sound? She's like, that's not gonna fly. So it keeps us grounded. So we really appreciate our wives helping us and supporting us and taking care of everything.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming in today also. We've got a couple of the girls in here supporting, and really that support system is all it takes to get you where you want to go. And I know Sammy's got Sam Jam coming up just a month.
Right around the corner.
Now, are y'all heading there?
Yeah, we are. We play there on Friday, and we play twice Friday. I don't remember the exact times. I think 2 and 6, but don't hold me right to that. Not had enough sleep.
We'll get it on their website.
We have a festival that we run. It's going to be in October. River Stomp Bluegrass Festival in Williamsburg. We have a big lineup this year. It's going to be 2 days. We got some of the biggest names in bluegrass. We got Authentic Unlimited, Wilson Banjo Company.
Hammertown's
going to be there. Kenny and Amanda Smith. The Moron Brothers, they're from here in Lexington.
Dean Osborne.
The Dean Osborne Band. And several good local groups besides that, and we'll be there. We play after everybody else gets tired of playing. They put us on last.
Man.
Like they're ashamed of us.
Yeah. Who did that?
After it's cold.
After it's cold, yeah. But, it's October the 11th and 12th this year, and we always have a real good time. We got good camping and on the Whitley County Fairgrounds, so anybody can follow us on Facebook for that. And we have a website tidalwaveroad.com.
Yeah, so don't mix the two. We have a band website.
We got a band website. We have a band Facebook. We have
Instagram.
We got a YouTube channel. We got River Stomp has a Facebook page and a YouTube page.
Yeah.
All the socialized
media. We are working on a website for River Stomp. We had one and it crashed, so we took it down, but we got actually Melanie's help us rebuild it right now. So we hope to have it live in about a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Is this the first year of River Stomp?
No, it started in 2019.
Gotcha.
And one year we didn't do it because of COVID, but other than that, it's been steady. It's growing.
Yeah. Love a good hometown show.
Yeah, please come.
Absolutely, I'd love to.
We'll take a
fall camping moment. Absolutely.
Got beautiful. It's a roughly 400 acre farm that
the
county bought, and it's a Clear Fork River. It's at the mouth of it where it dumps into the Cumberland. So they've done a lot of work there, the county has. They put in a boat dock, a 3-mile nature trail, and it's just 2-3 minutes by drive from downtown Winsburg, but when you hit that nature trail, you feel like you're a long way from everywhere.
Really nice. The thing is, it's only like 5 minutes off the interstate.
Yeah.
Oh, easy.
Right there. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't have to worry about parking at all.
Two times.
Yeah, easy parking, lots of camping. It has a really nice bathhouse there.
Mm. The only thing you have to watch out for is there have been some reports of some Sasquatch running around. And
some
big it has been known to get on stage.
They have, yeah.
And take the banjo.
They ain't gonna get
Please. Even Sasquatch will take the banjo.
Get people's elbow, but.
It's Tidal Wave Road Bluegrass Band. They've got River Stomp coming up in October, October 11th and 12th.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple more tunes, just two more, I believe. Thanks for tuning in to Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 The Hound. Let's keep her going.
So speaking of that, the voice, I haven't even told these guys this. The Melanie called us about a gig. And it was up here in Lexington, and it's not been confirmed yet, but one of the things they wanted was, they said, we're looking for a band that will, like, softly play in the corner. And she said, have you guys listened to Tidal Wave Road? Because they're not soft.
This is one, another original off our Bonfire Session. They play this on satellite radio quite a bit. This is one called Time and Money. Oh,
You've been listening to Fiddling Around on 96.1 The Hound. We are Tidal Wave Road from Winnsburg, Kentucky. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please check us out on social media or our website. We're going to wrap this up with doing a old bluegrass Beatles song called Norwegian Wood.
Is it not good, Norwegian food?